Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is The Vault by Access Hollywood.
We're taking you on an epic journey into the heart of Hollywood with iconic interviews and fascinating conversations from the biggest stars in the business.
The Vault opens now.
What is up, you guys? Welcome to the podcast here on The Vault by Access Hollywood. We are going to press play on some of the most iconic interviews of all time. All time. The crowd goes wild. I am Zuri Hall, and you are?
Mi nombre es Scott Evans.
He speaks Spanish. He's bilingual. Si. We have a bilingual host on the podcast. We're Zuri and Scott. Now it's French. I don't know what's happening, but I'm into it.
A man of many talents.
How about that? What's up, you guys? Welcome back to The Vault. Today, we are going to head into The Vault to talk about Big Willie, the Fresh Prince, Mr. Smith. Will, you guys, he is iconic, and I just love him so much, and I'm so excited for this episode.
You have brought all the nicknames out of your pocket.
I brought three. That's all I...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's what they call him in the streets, all right? That's, you know, Big Willie. He is a superstar, global superstar, for good reason, obviously. Yeah. I mean, everything that Will touches turns to gold. He's had a massive career in music, television, film, producing, streaming, even TikTok. I watch his YouTube channel. Will Smith has a YouTube channel now, y'all.
Will Smith will have you sitting on your computer in your bed with hours gone.
Right.
And okay with it.
And also, what did I just watch? I ate 100 hot wings in a row. What happened? I love that Will Smith is giving us the clickbait we need in 2020.
That we need. And it's funny because you talk about him being on YouTube. I don't know if you know this, but YouTube actually went through a transition where they were trying to figure out how they could get people to come back to
the platform, or get
more people to come back to the platform. And so they reached out to several big name celebrities and said, "We will create a channel around you. What do you want to do?"
Right.
Will Smith said, "Give me a crew."
Oh, okay.
Give me a crew.
Right, and we can do this.
And he became kind of the pilot program for these big name celeb
that's
partnerships with YouTube. And so to know that we're still hooked.
Yeah. 100%
today.
And I mean, he does it so well. I remember even before YouTube, when he joined Instagram and everybody was like, okay, so this is the gift we didn't know we needed. And he was sharing all those silly videos of him bothering Jada and the kids. And they were just like, dad. And we're like, oh my God, Will Smith. But that sort of insight into his life. I mean, this all started, 30 years ago now, if you can believe it.
30 years ago
Fresh
this year.
Fresh Prince. It launched 3 decades ago, y'all. Yes, you're that old. Effective last month. The premiere date was September 10th. 1990, and it was such an iconic moment, just period, especially for Black culture. When I think about representation at that time, it meant so much. But it was something that I think touched every household, anybody who watched it. It didn't matter what your background was, you saw something of yourself and your family in that potentially. And I think that's why it became such a huge hit. I mean, it shot him into superstardom. He had those huge films after Independence Day in 96, followed by Men in Black. I may or may not have had a family reunion performance to that song. It was great. It was amazing. There's video footage. We'll talk about it later. Wild Wild West. Oh, wait, that's what I'm... Wild Wild West is the one that I did the dance to. It wasn't Men in Black. And my brother had the rap portion for Will. And then I was just like a little cowgirl or whatever. I was in Wild Wild West. And then me and my cousin was doing the backup. We took first place. We do those sorts of things for my family.
It was the only first place take for Wild Wild West.
We may have been the only people in the competition. It was a small family reunion, but that was my jam at one point in time.
It's so funny, though. You mentioned all those movies back to back to back. They were all big hits, right? It wasn't until Wild Wild West that Will even experienced the kind of big budget kind of, I mean, dare I say, bomb, right? Like that movie was, it took...
Did it bomb? The thing is, I was so emotionally connected to that at my, 10, 14, 12 years of age, however old. I was like, this is the summer block, but this is the blockbuster of my life. Did it bomb? Was I so young that I didn't realize I was the only one to step in a Wild Wild West? All right.
It didn't matter. You know, the song was hot.
The movie, however, maybe not.
You know, a different story.
He had many more to come.
But you said Independence Day. Yeah. So Wild Wild West was yours. Independence Day, remember he was dating Vivica Fox in the movie? Yes, like that was his girl. She was a stripper.
Yep.
With a heart of gold.
That heart of gold will get you every time. Every time. Yes.
No, that lap dance will get you every time. The heart of gold will keep you. You know what I'm saying?
Get your pocket. I'm not talking about what I know about that. But anyways, Will Smith. Yeah, a lot of films, a lot of big movies. And then obviously what I loved about it, especially back in the day, he would release these soundtracks and these singles around the films because I feel like Will was like, wait, don't sleep on me. Let me remind y'all. I do this music.
I do music.
That was the first thing before Fresh Prince.
Getting jiggy with it.
Oh my gosh. Oh, nah, 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 nah. Oh, nah, 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 nah. No.
Oh, no. No, you did it.
Move on. Let's just not talk about it. Can we? Miami. Bienvenidos a Miami.
I mean, come on. But it's officially not summertime until you've heard.
Summertime.
I mean, come on, right?
Okay. Oh, you caught that run? Okay, I wasn't gonna say nothing, but if you caught it, then we can just talk about it real quick.
Okay, vocal.
Just kidding. Let's talk about Will, you guys. He's got all these things. And then in 2000, I actually didn't know this until we were doing research for this episode, that he added another title to his resume back in 2000, 20 years ago. Producer. You know the movie Love and Basketball. I mean, that is iconic black love story. Well, Willard got his first producer credit on this film. Obviously, it starred Omar Epps and Sanaa Lathan. And even though he didn't appear in the film, he executive produced the film's all-star soundtrack. And that was a first in his career at the time, which led to so many more credits. We at Access Hollywood actually interviewed Will, talked to him about his decision to join the production. And I love this. He shared why Love and Basketball was such a big moment for Black culture with Gina Prince Blythewood at the helm. Check this out.
You know, I saw the film in the early stages and I just loved it. You know, it's so real, you know, it feels just the dialogue is very authentic. And there's what was really impressive to me is that there's a certain aesthetic, you know, of Black America that isn't properly depicted in films all the time. I mean, there's another aesthetic that we see all the time, right. But there's a certain more subtle aesthetic that isn't captured on film and disseminated this way often. So, I just loved what they were doing. I loved the vibe and the energy, and Gina did a great job directing, and Omar and Sanaa did an incredible job performing. So I was like, all right, I need to be down somehow. How can I be down? So I have the soundtrack.
What's the aesthetic that they're doing differently? Is it the Brooklyn one or the Rutgers one? Or
you know what? It's more like just Black love. You know, you don't see the gentleness of Black love. Is that a word, gentleness? It wouldn't be.
I know what you mean, though. Yeah, I know, but I don't know if they do.
You know, you just got to go see the film. It's so delicately done, and I'm just really excited to be involved with it. I'm producing a soundtrack. I got my producer hat now. I got another slash on the back of my name. Rapper slash actor slash producer, Will Smith.
The plaque on your desk is going to be this long, Will. Talk to me about that, because I know you love music, and I know you love this project. Is this the beginning of another career for you?
Oh, absolutely. I think I got myself a good solid 10, 12 more years in front of the camera, then settle back into my Quincy Jones status, you know, where I can say, you know, because I hang with Quincy, and Quincy, like, produced the inauguration, and Quincy produced the millennium celebration. It's like, I want to do stuff like that. It's like things that people remember, and just big, huge, lots of money, stuff that costs lots of money. I want to produce that kind of stuff.
How can you take it to the next level, though? Because you're always kind of a step ahead of most people. And how do you take music to the next level?
I think being involved with other artists, and that's where it is. I think that as far as my music career, I feel that my vision is beyond my talent at this point. You know, what I see and what I can put together is much beyond the physical talent of performing that I possess. So it feels great to work with other artists and to be able to direct other artists and to, in this case, sculpt the soundtrack with all my great squad at Overbrook Entertainment, all my wonderful squad over there putting this soundtrack together. And yeah, I'm just feeling good about just being able to explore that next area.
Love that interview. I can't believe that was 20 years ago, but that even then, at the height of his fame, he was still trying to do new things, push more boundaries, add more hyphenates to his already multi-hyphenate career.
Yeah, and also while trying to be like, in 10, 15 years, I'm going to be not in front of the camera. Yeah, like I'll be doing a Quincy Jones kind of thing. Meanwhile, he just released a movie last year.
If one, like he has stayed giving us the content. You know what I mean?
Exactly. It was cool to hear him talk about the gentleness of Black love. Yeah. It was cool to hear him talk about how he seeing this movie in its early stages. Right. He was like, I need to be a part of this. How can I be a part of this?
Oh, 100%. And he was so right. I remember at that time, I remember watching Love and Basketball and being like, oh my God, this is amazing. I also love this idea, this theme that two people could separate and find their way back to each other. It was one of my earliest memories or introductions to aspirational love, like the type of energy that I wanted to exchange with someone where they just kept finding their way back to one another. And then obviously, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched, but end up together. Do you remember the first time you saw the film or kind of where you were or what you thought about it?
Yeah, I remember thinking, Sanaa Lathan is a baller.
Right.
And then to know that she had never played a game of basketball in her life before she, you know, became a part of the film. Yeah. I also remember, you know, being a brown skinned Black dude, seeing Omar Epps and knowing his performances, you know, it wasn't too separated from this performance. Did we get him in O?
Right.
You know, where they brought the story of Othello to life. Yeah. And it's also funny because I don't know if you remember in Scream, I think it was the second one, he was, Omar Epps played the love interest or the date. He and Jada Pinkett were on a date. And they were the first killing of the movie.
Oh, dang. Wait, I got to go back to
I love to bring it. Yeah. I love to bring another pop culture reference into the situation.
Into
you know, get a little off topic.
Yeah. Oh, we love an off topic moment here. How about this? Why don't we fast forward and head to the vault in 2002? So this is just a couple years later. Access Hollywood had an exclusive sit-down interview with Will to talk about his career. It was Big Willie weekend, 4th of July, summer blockbuster release, and more importantly, the loyalty that Will experienced from his fans then. He certainly experiences it now. He's always shown so much love, and they have shown him so much love back. And he also made himself accessible to his fans. What I love about Will is the first time I met him on a red carpet, he was so generous with his energy and he was so willing to give you everything in that moment. He talked to every single person on that carpet, no matter how big or small the outlet. And that same accessibility he extends to his fans, which is awesome. So this is him talking about why he goes the extra mile to promote his films and connect with his audience on a more personal level.
I mean, I feel like a movie is sold, and especially a movie like Men in Black, is sold on my relationship with the fans. You know, there's a certain thing that when my name is on the marquee, that it means something. And to me, it's important to go out and sell that and represent that. And, you know, just to let people know that I like getting paid, but I don't necessarily do this for money. You know, it's something more important to me than getting paid.
Yeah, you don't need the money anymore, so it's not about mm-hmm. the money. But you do, on July 3rd and 4th and 5th, will you be calling your people and saying, how'd we do at the box office today? I mean, you're kind of curious about that, right?
I usually try to avoid the box office, because it's really, you know, win or lose, it doesn't matter. For me, I go to the theater every night, you know, from probably about the 3rd of July till about the 7th or 8th. I'll go to the theater every night and sit and watch with different audiences, you know, watch it in the inner city, and watch it deep out in Exurbia, and watch it everywhere that I can find.
You got a hat on, or do people know it's you?
No, I usually wait till everyone's in, let the film get 5 or 10 minutes in, and then creep into the back of the theater. But to me, that's way more important than the box office number. If there's only 50 people in this movie theater that see the movie, I want them to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. But what can you do? I mean, if no one's not going to dislike this movie, but what can you change at that point? Or you just want to see it for your own?
Yeah, it's more about the next project. Like, you know, for example, when I watched a film like Ali. Mm-hmm.
That was a good movie. Yeah, that guy was good. Yeah, that guy was good.
That guy was good. You saw that dude?
Yeah, yeah, he was good. He was in shape, too.
Yeah, no, he got skills. But like Ali. I've never been more pleased in a movie theater. You know, when I sat, I watched how the audience reacted, and my instincts were right, you know, choices that I wanted to make. And, you know, when you do a scene, there's 50,000 different choices that you can make during the scene. And the choices that Michael Mann and I made in my performance in Ali, I felt very pleased with. So you can only tell that from sitting in the back of the theater and watching the heads of the audience.
Can you imagine being in a home movie theater, paid your $8.75 at the time? $8.75 is like $27,000 at this point. But I would imagine then $8.75 to get the ticket, and you turn around because somebody being loud or kicking the back of your seat, and it is Willard Smith. Can you imagine, Scott?
Let me tell you something. I got a black mama.
Right.
She would have been like, that is Will Smith. You know what I mean? Like, spot blown up. It's really cool to hear him say, I avoid the box office numbers, mm-hmm. but I do go sit in the theater with the folks to see if the choices that I made landed the way that mm-hmm. I thought they would. Mm-hmm. Right? You think about, like, him talking about playing Ali and how much that role meant to him. Right. You know what I mean? And to know that people responded or connected with it the way he'd hoped.
Right.
You know, I think about I Am Legend, even Hitch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Hitch. That's a classic. At this point, that's like a rom-com people go back to all the time. Anytime, you know, a guy wanted to throw out a rom-com, it was always Hitch. So, and I love that he made a film that, you know, even a grown man could be like, you know what? I love me some Hitch, and if we gotta watch a rom-com, this is gonna be it. So Will Smith was making, you know, the rom-coms for everybody, not just the chick who likes the chick flicks. The man was into it too.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The one holiday, the holiday?
The holiday. Oh, was that with Cameron? Who was that?
Cameron Diaz, Jack Black, and the Divergent lady.
Rose. Shailene Woodley?
Kate Winslet.
Kate Winslet was in Divergent?
Jude Law. Absolutely. Yeah, she was like the...
What'd she do? She was like,
she was the murderer. She was like one of the villains. Okay, maybe not Divergent, but if you gotta choose between The Holiday and Hitch, we go in Hitch
every time. I would actually
we're going Hitch.
I would agree with you. Yes, I love that. I love what that clip from The Vault said about also what he prioritizes, right? Which is, even at the top of his game, he wants to get better. And you can only do that through constructive criticism, through honesty, through realness. And so instead of being one of those A-list actors who becomes out of touch with reality, he's like, no, I'm going to go find what's real. If it won't come to me, if I'm surrounded by the yes men and the Hollywood vibes of, oh my God, you're great. Oh my God, it was amazing. Oh my God, people are going to love it. He's like, well, then let me get out of Hollywood, go to the hood, go to whatever theater I need to go to and sit with the people that I actually want to entertain and see if they're entertained. And there's something about that that is extremely humble to me and also shows a dedication to craft. Because it could be easy at that point in your career to just be like, my work here's done. You guys are welcome.
Yeah.
But he wanted to keep getting better and he wanted to stay on top of his game. And that's how you do it.
Well, how many people have you interviewed and you're like, so when was the last time you saw so-and-so movie or show? And they're like, oh, I never watched myself.
Right. So
and often. not to say that those people are full of themselves or self-centered or that kind of thing, but to know that he part of his process is to see how people are digesting the content is a pretty cool thing. It's also interesting to note that he understood earlier in his career that putting my name on this thing, you're banking on not just my performance, but my relationship to the viewer, to the audience, and you're banking on them showing up. So I gotta honor that.
Absolutely.
It's a really cool thing. You talk about the realness. You talk about Will being like the dude who goes in search of the realness. I wonder if he was really prepared for the realness that would find him at Jada Pinkett's Red Table.
About to go there? We gonna do that?
We gonna do it. Think about 2019. Yeah. Think about 2019, right? He big jump into the Disney family, two big releases. Mm-hmm. Aladdin, he played the genie, made famous by Robin Williams. You know, a lot of pressure on trying to recreate this kind of live action version of the animated classic. Mm-hmm. Also, a lot of we've been waiting for this telling or this perhaps this retelling of the story with casting that also showed a more diverse spin, a more diverse experience. But he also had Spies in Disguise. Yeah. Right?
Yep.
I remember being on the red carpet, or I think it was actually a blue or a purple carpet.
I was there.
For
I think it was
Aladdin.
Blue. Oh, no, I wasn't at Aladdin. I was at Spies in Disguise. That carpet was blue, very blue, I think. Aladdin was purple, right?
I think.
Okay. I only saw pictures. I wasn't at Aladdin.
I just remember there being elephants.
Okay.
There being a whole bunch of ants. It was a crazy premiere. Uh-huh. Maybe the elephants actually I dreamed.
Okay, that could have happened.
Either way, it was a big premiere. Shut down Hollywood Boulevard. And I remember it was within weeks of pretty big episodes of Red Table Talk with Jada Pinkett for Facebook Watch. And I remember asking him, like, how do you handle the fact that your wife, your life partner, is sharing so much of
all
her experience and her daughter's experience, right, with her mother on the show? Remember, Red Table Talk, that season, we learned, I think even right along with Jada and Adrian, her mother or grandmother, that Willow was cutting herself. during the whip your hair days.
They were so open. You know? And you were watching Jada have revelations in the moment where Willow was opening up and hadn't opened up before that. And it was extremely vulnerable. I remember being surprised. The very first episode was Will's eldest son, Trey's mother, sitting down with Jada and then talking it out. I was like, oh, they are really going there. They are being so vulnerable with us, which I was so surprised by in the moment, but appreciative of, because it opens up the door and it normalizes these relationships, these families that people put in this pedestal and say, oh, they could never be going through what I'm going through. Oh, they're not dealing with stepmama drama. Oh, they don't have the same issues with their kids, but they do. And I love that they were all willing, because you know they all had to be on board for that to happen, that they were all willing to share that.
Yeah, you couldn't have one that was like, nah, I'm not down. And so, you know, especially for a couple that had been so private before, that had been so guarded before, to open up the floodgates and to potentially, as we've seen recently even, open themselves up to criticism in a way, right? By being honest and open and in their truth.
Right.
You know, I think about the conversation I had with Will on this carpet was like, how do you prepare yourself for the kind of candidness that the women that you love in your family are sharing on this show? Take a listen.
I haven't seen you since it has aired.
Yeah,
and I just want to know. I mean, it was.
Just be putting all our business in the street, man. They just put all our business in the street.
Was there a moment, though? I mean, I talked to Jada about it, having the mothers of your children sit across from each other on television. What was your first reaction when she said, baby, this is what we're going to do?
Yeah, you know what? It's like she's loving it so much. She's so found her lane.
Yeah.
For years, she's been trying to find that lane. And I think this is exactly perfectly where her spirit sings, you know, and she's there with her daughter and with her mother, you know, and it's beautiful.
I told her it's changed the way I relate to my family. Yes, we watch it together,
absolutely.
My mom and my little sister.
Yeah, it's like she, you know, she's doing something that when we look back 10 years and 20 years from now, she doesn't recognize it because she doesn't think in this way, but you know, she's absolutely changing relationship and family dynamics and how we communicate and how we get to the heart of things in a family unit.
Wow. I mean, he's so right. That is a smart man. That's what a smart man does. That's a happy wife, happy life.
Right? But when they called, when they had to call the emergency red table for the entanglement
Jada
episode.
Jada brought herself to the red table. You remember when she brought Jordan Woods and she had to slow walk to the table?
I
remember the memes when Jada brought her own self to the table and it was Jada sitting across from Jada ready to just go there on the internet. I was like, what is actually happening? I cannot believe they're being this honest. Oh my God, do Will just say that? And yet I loved that he especially was willing to go there, because at that point, this was Jada's thing. As Will said in the interview with you, he was letting her do her thing. She was coming into her own. She found her lane. Mm-hmm. But for him to also get up there, sit at that table in her space.
And you could see in his face that it was not
It was not.
While it maybe had been a simple choice of course I'm going
to support
this and support you, it wasn't easy.
No, not at all. You could see him grappling with it. And there was a moment, my heart just, it melted. Because I felt him in the moment when he was asking her a question or two, kind of getting to the bottom of it about, you know, infidelity versus cheating versus entanglements. Like, what was it? You could see him sort of, I don't know if pleading is the right word, but really questioning with his eyes, like, no, I want the answer to this too. Like, what's the answer here? Like, just say it. Say
when
what
she
this
said,
is.
When she said, you know, I found myself in an entanglement, he said, okay, what's an entanglement?
Exactly.
Jada?
Define that.
She said, okay, it's a relationship. He said, okay, we was in a relationship. Okay, just want to make sure.
It's
a
relationship, whatever you want to call it. But I love that vulnerability, because you can see that exchange between them. It felt like I was sitting at their kitchen counter with them and nobody with else. Them. And I was so kind of blown away by the willingness to be that vulnerable. But I think that's a testament to how both of them are as a couple, how the family is, but also Will and his willingness to give. He was giving of himself in that moment to the audience, to the public, because that was not something he had to do. And that's not something a lot of men would do, have the strength, you know, and the confidence in oneself and one's relationship.
Or even agree that that's the thing that they should do, right? Like he opened, like I remember reading a lot of the criticism about that appearance and it being like, this is like, you let her pimp you. This is not something y'all should have shared in public. And I remember, and I've talked about this on our shows a couple of times, but I remember it just, for me, it illustrated one, that the idea that we have of people's relationship, we have no idea what's actually happening in their relationship. Mm-hmm. And that if we freed ourselves from the constant comparison to other people and what appears to be their joy and their perfection, how we might get back to the work that we need to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? How we might get back to the bliss and the joy and the epiphany in our own lives. Yep. But it also showed me what it means for, in particular, as a single Black man, what an example of sticking it out looks like.
What
it looks like to be two Black people in love with each other, knowing it's not perfect, but just committing to
whatever happens,
figure this out.
Well, because remember, it was that last moment where, you know, they've got the Bad Boys for Life thing that him and Martin do in the movie, and what they say,
bad marriage for life.
But I love that they even found a way to laugh about that, because ain't that what it is at the end of the day half the time? And I'm not just talking about them. I'm talking about relationship. It is so hard.
Work.
And it's not just romantic relationship. Committing to having someone in your life, whether it's your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your spouse, whoever, for the long haul, it's going to get bad. And it's like, well, I chose this thing. And if I'm going to honor that commitment, then we need to figure out what this looks like at this stage in our lives and accept that it might be different than what it was when we started out on this. So I think that was the most real and honest portrayal of stages of a relationship. And does it get more committed than that? That no matter what goes down, I'm going to find a way to stay present.
Back to you.
Yes. Stay present and be with you. I loved it. I was surprised by it, but I am appreciative
Surprised.
For it. Not mad at it.
It was interesting to even hear Willow say how proud she was of her parents for the kind of candor that they've had and the things that they've made it through. Yeah. She's like, yeah, that's the kind of, like, no matter what, we're going to figure this out.
Exactly. And there's so much comfort and security in that. And that's the most you can ask for, especially when you're raising children, to trust that their parents will always do whatever it takes, whether they're in love, whether they're not, whether they're romantically involved, whether they're not, but they will do what it takes to figure it out for the
family.
Yeah, for the family. Sorry, that's it. All right, you guys, thanks for hanging out with us this episode. Make sure you join us again when we make another trip into the Access Hollywood vault. Make sure you subscribe for more, okay? You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, literally wherever you get your podcasts. We're there and we're talking about all of the things from the archives, from the vault. So we'll see you next time, okay? Scott's hitting with a little Wild Wild West. Cabbage Patch. You want to see my Wild Wild West dance from the family reunion?
Yeah, do it.
It's kind of lit. It was like,
do it.
Wild Wild West, and you kind of hit the lasso. Wild Wild West, and you do it with the left hand. Dun, dun, dun. And that was kind of it. I was only 10 or
so. You just did a lasso for 20
you
minutes.
You going to judge me? I said we got first place.
Wow.
I thought this was a safe space. Bye, guys. Scott and I have some unpacking to do.
The Vault by Access Hollywood is hosted by Scott Evans and Zuri Hall, produced by Access Hollywood Digital's Jenny Depper and Rebecca Zamer, and Digital Media Management's Grant Rutter, Audrey Povar, and Ryan Middledorf, and Trey Boudet. Join us next week when we open up that vault again for more iconic celebrity interviews and all things entertainment. Rate, subscribe, and share.